Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from the Lord our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of our sermon this morning is a lesson from Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Simeon had received a revelation from the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Christ. And so it's understandable that Simeon would have spent a lot of time there at the temple waiting, because that's where the Christ was going to come. There's nothing in Scripture that indicates after Simeon saw the child and held the child that he suddenly died and went home to heaven. He was old, but presumably he went home and lived for a while after that, but he had seen the Christ. But it wasn't just that one incident, not that one vision. Simeon, as an Old Testament believer, knew all the prophecies, knew all the promises, all the things that God had said about the coming Messiah, who would be a light to the people. He would do all of these miracles and wonder. He would bind up the brokenhearted. Simeon had all of those prophecies in his mind and in his heart and in God's word. And that day when Mary and Joseph brought the child, you can see the joy in his face as he's holding his Savior and speaks those words that are so familiar. Lord, let your servant depart in peace. I've seen my salvation. Simeon could go forward into his life with that vision of the gospel. It was lovely. We've just celebrated Christmas. And through the eyes of faith, in the arms of faith, we've held that child that God promised for us, because we know what the angels said to the shepherds. Peace on earth through this child. We know why the wise men would come to worship, because this is the Savior of the world. He's our Savior. And every time we gather together around his word and hold him by faith, we see our salvation. We say what Simeon says, Lord, let us depart in peace. And we go forward in life with this beautiful vision, this lovely vision the gospel brings to us. It's fitting at the close of another calendar year to spend that time in worship, Christmas, the Sunday after Christmas, and view again the promises of God, view again the gospel. Through the gospel, through the vision of this gospel message of forgiveness in Christ, we look ahead to our life, we look ahead to the next year. 2021 will be a lovely year. It's a lovely vision of the future because of the gospel. And boy, don't we need it. Don't we need it after this year, after this long year of being taught over and over and over again that it can always get worse, that the things you never saw coming can actually happen. You know, I mean, think back to the first week of March when things started to come out about this pandemic, and then suddenly there was this complete shutdown in our country like we've never seen before. Everything closed. Everything was shut down. And then the year went on. The year went on with violence in the streets of major cities in America, racial tensions that were at a boiling point. Chaos and disorder. Add to that all of the natural disasters that just happened to come up in the last year. The West Coast ravaged by all of those fires, we're still burning. Our neighbors in the state of Louisiana seem like they were the bullseye for the hurricane season. I think there's 5 named storms that hit that state. And then our church life. This is not a year we want to repeat in our church life. No Holy Week services. No Easter Sunday worship here. I know it was online and we got to do all those things, but come on. I've had enough of that. I'm not an exceptionally touchy-feely type of person. I'm not what you would call a hugger. But boy, I miss the good old days of being able to shake anybody's hand and not think twice about it. I'm ready for a new year. And the gospel gives us this lovely vision of what we can expect in 2021. Well, not on the basis of changing from 2020 to 2021. The number doesn't do it. But on the basis of what God has done for us in Jesus. These verses from Colossians chapter 3 begin with that word therefore. And the word therefore indicates something has happened and there is a direct result on us. Earlier in this chapter, Paul said, since you have been raised with Christ, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Change took place. A wonderful change took place in us by the power of the gospel. We were born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, working through the word in holy baptism, or when we heard the message of the gospel. Our status was changed from enemy of God to dearly loved, holy, chosen, special people of God. Therefore, as God's holy and chosen and special people, go into the next year with this lovely vision created by the gospel. Notice how Paul describes what's going to happen to us. He says, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Put on those things because that's how God's going to deal with you. In compassion, kindness, gentleness, and patience, he's going to forgive you in 2021 just like he has in this past year. That's how God deals with his people. And that's what gives us this lovely vision of the future. We get to act that way. We get to show those godly attributes to the people around us. We get to forgive just as we have been forgiven. That'll make 2021 a great year. But putting on these qualities, practicing forgiveness, we're going to have to interact with one another in some way. You don't put on compassion and patience just for yourself. You put on those things because you have to relate to other people. When we talk about forgiveness, there's got to be somebody to forgive. Going into the next year, the Lord in these verses is holding before us the fact that we will be dealing with each other. He wants us to do it in love. He wants us to do it with this vision of the gospel before our eyes. A key element in the relationships that we have with one another is communication. We got to talk to each other. If I want to be patient, I need to have somebody tell me to be more patient. If I need to forgive somebody, I need to have somebody tell me that I've sinned against them. If I don't learn that, it's really hard to put this into practice. Last fall, I took a trip to Milwaukee, and when I landed at the airport, I went directly to the rental car. I was kind of in a rush and got my car. When I got the car, I walked up to it, and there's a sticker that covers the door, and once you open the door, the sticker is ripped. But the sticker on the door indicates that the inside of that vehicle has been cleaned, and it's COVID-free. Supposedly. You open that sticker, you got a clean, fresh vehicle. One of the things the rental car companies always tell you, major rules, is don't smoke in your car and don't wear a lot of perfume or cologne. Evidently, people that cleaned that car did not follow those rules or ignored somebody smoking in that vehicle with a lot of cologne on, because I got in there, it's like, good grief. You know, the smoke was trying to be covered up by the cologne. And I was in a hurry, so I didn't go back. I left, it'll be all right. After a couple days, I got used to it and didn't think much of it till I returned the vehicle, and you have the opportunity to give customer feedback. And so I took that opportunity to say, this vehicle was not accepted, and here's what was wrong with it. Got a $50 voucher for the next time I rent from the company, so it pays to share your thoughts. But that rental car company did not intentionally rent that car to a smoker who liked to wear heavy cologne. They didn't deliberately give me that vehicle that was not acceptable. They needed somebody to tell them that this had happened. If I didn't tell them, they never would have known. There's an interesting Bible passage in Psalm 19 where David says, Lord, forgive my hidden faults. Also keep me from deliberate and willful sin. But David says, forgive my hidden faults. David recognized he has done things that he doesn't even know. And that's true of us. There's times that we sin that we're completely unaware of. There's also people we sin against and we're not even sure we've done anything wrong. If somebody has sinned against me and they don't know it, it's my responsibility to talk to them about it. Not to go on and harbor anger or hold a grudge. Not to talk to other people about what that person did to me. If I want to be kind and compassionate and forgiving, somebody's going to need to tell me about it. And that's what Paul encourages us to do. Be kind and compassionate, forgiving, just as we've been forgiven. Do it as brothers and sisters in Christ. Do it as a family of believers. That gospel that has been shown to each and every one of us, that we've held in our arms, that has given us this vision of the future, not just for this life, but for eternity, empowers and equips us to put on all these godly attributes and live in them and go forward that way into the next year. We need to hear about that. We need to have that message come to us on a regular basis, because it's so easy to forget about those promises of God, so easy to forget about that vision of the gospel. That's always been true for God's people. If you read through the Old Testament, you find situations in their history when the people, this fell into great and grievous sins. And they were really feeling the guilt of their sin, but God sent them a messenger to announce his forgiveness. In the book of Exodus, the people had committed the sin of idolatry by worshiping this golden calf. Moses was up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, and God told them what was going on. And Moses came down there and he hammered the people with the law, and they were just destroyed. The Lord sent Moses back to announce forgiveness to those people. They need to hear it. Think of Jesus' own disciples. Even after they had those direct words from the Savior that he was going to die and 3 days later he would live, they were afraid on Easter Sunday. They were locked up in a room because they thought the Jews were going to come and get them next. And Jesus came with a message of peace. He set before their eyes a gospel vision for the future. And what happened? Those apostles, those early Christians, went out boldly into the world, very hostile world, a world that was violent against them. And they brought the message of Jesus. They put on compassion and patience and humility. They lived in forgiveness, and they brought that gospel to the world. What a beautiful vision for our future. Whatever the next year brings, bring that gospel message to the people around us. to do it living in peace. That's what Paul says in verse 15. As we put on these attributes, as we live in forgiveness, he says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. That verse has an interesting picture in the word that's translated rule. The word has the idea of let the peace of Christ be the umpire or the referee in your heart. Let that peace of Christ be the one to make decisions for you. If you're any kind of a sports fan, you'll get this analogy. At some point in your life, if you follow a team, if you participated in a sport, you've probably said something like, those refs were terrible. Or, that guy can't see. Who makes a call like that? We love to complain about the referees, especially in our world today with technology. Right? Instant replay has made the life of the umpire, the referee, the official very difficult, because if you make a mistake, everybody is going to know, and sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. You got to live in it. For the baseball umpire calling balls and strikes, that's a very subjective thing. Yes, there's a set strike zone, but I guess it depends where you stand in or how does the ball come in. And now on TV, the strike zone is laid out on the computer, and so that ball just grazes the top. That's a strike, right? Or it's not called a strike, and that umpire is the scapegoat. Jesus has very clear rules for his people. The strike zone is laid out, right? And it doesn't matter how close you get to the edge or what you think is fair or not fair. This is the way it is. Be compassionate, gentle, patience, forgive. What are you attempting to complain to the ref? Lord, come on. Give me a little leeway here. This really hurt me. This situation is really difficult. Deserve a little bit of time to gripe about it, to complain, to gossip. Jesus says, no. That's a foul. That's a sin. And he would know. He would know because he was wronged. He suffered unfairly. When the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, it was nothing he had done wrong. It was your sin, it was my sin, and the sin of the world that God placed on Christ. Why? So we could have peace. So we could have peace ruling in our heart. Peace that doesn't think about what's owed me or how I was wronged, but peace that loves the message of forgiveness in Christ. Peace that views everything in our world through those lenses. Christ's death and resurrection for us, and the benefits that are ours through faith in it. That's what gives us a lovely vision for the future. As members of his body, and be thankful about it. Anticipating next year, probably to be some like this year, we're going to need some help. We're going to need some help living in this peace, living as brothers and sisters, and being thankful for it. God provides that help in a really simple but very powerful way through the time together in worship. The last two verses of our text, the Apostle Paul addresses the worship life of God's people, the way we relate to God's word. He says this, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Each week as we gather for this time in worship, It's a powerful period of time. It's powerful because God comes to us. God engages our heart with the gospel. 1 hour a week makes a huge difference in our life because we've seen our salvation. We have this beautiful gospel vision of the future. We know where God is leading us. We also know it's more than what we do for an hour a week. This impacts our whole life throughout the week. Spiritual growth is a topic that we've been on for a few months here at Abiding Word. And I think it's good to give some practical encouragement or advice on just how to do that. I'm not giving you an assignment. I'm giving you an encouragement. Sunday morning worship is something that pastors and musicians put a lot of time into. We plan for it. You don't just show up and say, here's the hymns I'd like you to play this morning. That's not very nice. You don't just say, oh, what scripture do I want to preach on today, and say, Lord, give me the words. And it's not just the service, but it's each Sunday. 3 times a year, our pastors and musicians meet together to do worship planning. We plan it for Advent and Christmas, and Epiphany, for Lent, Easter, and then for the season of Pentecost. As we meet for that planning meeting, one of the pastors has prepared. And we got this big old binder, and it's called Planning Christian Worship. And in this binder, you'll find a theme for that Sunday in the church year, all the scripture readings and some introductions to them. You'll find hymn suggestions. It's a really useful tool. This past week, preparing for this service and this sermon, I took some time and went back for the service. That's what I want you to do today. Take 5 minutes or 10 minutes this week. If you're online, you can do it real easily. Go through the bulletin. Consider that theme of seeing our salvation in Christ and that gospel vision for the future. I don't know how many references you can find in the hymns, in the readings, in the prayers. How many things the Lord is doing to focus your attention on Jesus? And I'll tell you, real honestly, it's not because the pastors are such great worship planners. It happens because when the Word of God is at the center of what we do, what we worship around, God's going to put that vision before us. God is going to let us see Jesus through His Word as we listen, as we sing, as we pray. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit works. He brings that growth. He sets that vision before us and gives us an excitement for this lovely future that God has waiting for us next year. Not dependent on earthly circumstances or lockdowns or virus or anything else, but fully reliant on eternal life in heaven, where one day we'll gather with all God's people, all the saints. And it won't be a vision. It won't be off in the future. It will be before our eyes, our very own eyes, as we see God's glory and praise Him eternally. That's God's vision for you. That's the lovely vision the gospel gives you now and that you get to go forward into the next year with. May God use it to strengthen you and equip you with everything good for doing His will. Amen.